Just get off. How are you guys this morning? Doing all right? It's wonderful that the Lord brings us here to worship Him, to encourage us that He does get us through. He will bring us to the end. And we'll talk about that today. And also, what's funny is before that last song, Daniel prayed, and I'm like, gosh, we're doing a lot of praying today. Because I'm sure I'll pray at least once, if not twice. Then we're going to do communion, and we'll at least pray once there. Right? It took me back to, there's a pastor from Washington, D.C., and he goes, if people complain about praying too much, pray more. It's the duty of the church, right? To come before our glorious God, to beseech Him to be with us and near us, to lead us and guide us, to do amazing works amongst us. Isn't that our whole duty? So shame on me, right? But I feel like there's probably somebody else in here that will say at the end of service, man, we prayed a lot. It's all right. It's all right. It's good. It's a good thing. So today we're going to be in Acts chapter 3 in our foundation series. And so far we've talked about Jesus, after He rose from the dead, went to heaven, and now He currently sits at the right hand of God, ruling and reigning, sovereign over all things, upholding all things by the word of His mouth. Pretty awesome. Not only that, but then He sends His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We don't have to call down the Spirit to be with us because He's already here. He's in each one of us that believe. Part of the problem is we're not aware of that. Different sermon. But today I pray that the Spirit in you right now, right, would encourage you to know this thing, this main point for today, that the kingdom of God broke through in Jesus, but now it breaks through by His power in the church and through the church. So if you are a believer in Christ, the kingdom of God can break through and is breaking through in you. And so that comes to last week when Jeff talked about Acts 2, this church, which is a body of believers and not a building. It's not a Sunday morning. It's the believers in Christ in whom the Holy Spirit lives, living life in a dark and dying world in which we are the light. Okay? You are the image of God recreated to be the light of God, to be the kingdom of God in the kingdom of darkness. And so today we go, all right, so now, because we are this people, what is this? What does this look like? And to be honest, I had no idea what I was going to say about this for so long, because I was like, it's a miracle. And no kidding, here's the second thing I said. Okay, whoop-de-doo, it's a miracle. Did you hear that? Has anybody else lost their awe of miracles in Scripture because you're just so accustomed to reading them or hearing about them? Man, I totally have. I just go, this is just a miracle. If God is God, well then, by definition, all the omni words, right? Because He has all the omni words as characteristics, well then a miracle just makes sense because that's just what He does. But there's something more to that, that me, because faith can so easily be, hey, if you know these facts about who God is and what He's done, then you have a relationship with God, or you know more about God, or you're growing in your love for God. That's just not true. They sure can help, but if it's knowledge for knowledge's sake, you've missed the point, and the point is Jesus. And so today, that's what we're talking about. Jesus, I know that's crazy. By the way, preachers have one message, or they should have one message, and it's Jesus and the gospel. It might sound a little bit different, but really, we're a one-song band. One-song band. So, that's right. Acts 3, we're going to read 2 through 8, and then we're going to jump to 13 through 23. I didn't put it on the screen, so you're not going to be able to follow along intentionally, so you'd have to use your Bible. It's in the Pew Bible, page 93, or use your iPhone, iPad, or whatever other device might exist on this planet that has the Bible on it. So verse 2, chapter 3 of Acts. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Whoops, I read one verse too far. My bad. That won't hurt you, though. Pray and read scripture, right? Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him, but you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life." I mean, those are unbelievable two statements in a row right there. "Whom God raised from the dead. This we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all of you. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you, and it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.'" Father, we come before you and we want to hear from you and we want to know you more. We want to fall more in love with you. Be our everything. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear what specific thing you might have for us. I pray that this would be a worshipful moment for all of us as we dwell and meditate upon your glorious work through both a sermon and a miracle. So be here now, and may your words speak. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so as I was talking about, I struggle with this. And I'd start to put some pieces together, and I was like, how is anyone ever going to understand this? And so as I'm doing research, I came up, this is what you do. You read your scripture, you kind of get an outline going, you study it, you kind of get all the information you want, you get a direction, and those kinds of things. But the problem was, it was very convoluted. And so there's this one guy, he just so happens to be a genius. His name is Tim Keller, if you've ever heard of this man. He's a pastor in New York City, and he, interestingly, had similar thoughts to me, but he just made it clear. So I was like, why would I not just, use a similar format? And so this miracle that we're about to talk about, that we just read about, points in four different directions, and they're on your bulletin. Upward, inward, forward, and outward. I actually changed one of them just so you'd feel better, but also for our purposes here today. So I didn't totally copy him, but that's where this miracle points. And what do I mean by that? This miracle points upward in that it's about the glory and power of Jesus Christ, not about the man being lame or him even being healed. That's interesting, right? Because most of the time I just read a miracle and go, oh man, God was so nice to that dude. That's really kind of him. That was gracious to him. But interestingly, as we're looking from the verse 3 through 8 to then Peter's sermon, we realize that really what's trying to happen here is God's trying to go, hey, the kingdom of God is here. And not only that, but it's infiltrating this dark, the kingdom of darkness by my people. And in this case, it's Peter and John as they heal a man through the power of Jesus. Like, it's really easy to get caught up on both the healing and the dudes that are doing the healing. But the healing has to have a source, has to have a power. And most of the time it's like, we flippantly say God, and or we go, man, that's cool that that guy was able to do that. But the truth is, in Scripture, miracles, the source of all miracles, the source of all power is in the Trinity, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this case, it is the power of Jesus Christ, because he rose from the dead, that this man was able to walk. That's an unbelievable thing, right? This dude who has been lame for 40 years, as it says in chapter 4, which I can't talk about because Jeff's preaching on it next week. But he had been coming to this gate for 40 years asking for alms. But it's only in Christ, only through the power of Christ, that he found healing. And it wasn't just, hey man, you can find healing, but it was, what does it say in there? It says, he leapt twice. In the same verse, it says he leapt twice, and it says he walked twice. And don't, when Scripture kind of repeats itself like that, don't pass by it right there. Because Luke is specifically trying to say something. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say that this dude, this guy that they spoke in the name of, Jesus Christ, this is the Messiah. Where's my verses? Sorry, I just got totally jumped ahead and got lost. But it says in Isaiah 35, it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. So from ancient times, they were prophesying about this man who had the power to heal, because that's what the Messiah does. He changes and he transforms. And when we think about miracles, we think, again, that God's doing a really good thing for this man, helping him to walk. But it really is even more than that. I think too often we talk about miracles and we say, again, they're good things. But the truth is, and not only that, but they're special things that just happen out of nowhere, as though this was a, I say miraculous work, but it's abnormal, okay? And I know some of you are like, it is abnormal. What's funny is a miracle is the most normal thing that could possibly happen in history. Why? Because in this case, Jesus is recreating. What did God do at the beginning of time? What was his miracle at the beginning of time? He created. Not only did he create, but he created good. It's sin that caused this man to be lame. And I'm not saying this guy's sin. I'm just saying sin in the world caused this man to be lame. And it's Jesus Christ, God, who stepped into history and is creating right here. That's just the most normal thing on the face of the planet. The other things that we experience, that's actually abnormal. Because it's full of sin. The world is full of sin. I'm full of sin. You're full of sin. We're full of sin together. But truly, so this is the most normal thing that could possibly happen. And then finally, the last thing I'll talk about is upward, is why don't we ask for the miracles more? And I'll say this, though, at the same time. I think there are miracles that happen all around us all the time. We just don't have eyes to see them. So why don't we pray for miracles more, and why don't we pray that God would open our eyes to see the obvious miracles that are happening around us? Like, my heart transformation, my becoming a believer in Christ, that's a miracle. Because my sinfulness does not want God. My brokenness does not want God, because I think I can find satisfaction somewhere else. And so it's a miracle that God goes, hey, I'm better, and I believed. not because of any power of my own, but because the power of Christ that helped this lame man stand up is the one that helped my heart stand up, in a sense. Number two, it's the second direction that miracles point. It points inward. This miracle is not about the man being lame, but is about the transformation of the heart. And you might be like, what in the world? How is that possible? Psalm 115, 1 through 8 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet that do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all that trust in him, in them. Remember how I said, like, Luke is a brilliant writer? What did he say that the lame man was asking for? Or what did Peter and John say that the blind man was asking for? He was asking for alms, but what they specifically said was silver and gold. What did that passage say that we make idols out of? Silver and gold. So he's trying to get at something here. What's he trying to get at is the question that we're trying to really figure out. What he's trying to get at is, we don't want what we should want. And I don't say that the lame man wanting to walk is a bad thing, because he should, right? Who wouldn't want to walk? Not only that, but it was a recreation of what he's meant to be, a restoration. But the truth is, if that's all he wanted, where does that leave him? I think all of us we prefer silver or gold to Jesus sometimes. I mean, I do, right? Because I think ultimately something is going to satisfy me more than the author of the universe. Yikes, right? And so the question is, for you guys, is what is your silver or gold? Because we all have it. Maybe it is silver and gold, right? But maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a school. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a social status. Maybe it's an escape from pain. Maybe it's an escape from suffering. Maybe it's comfort. Maybe that's your silver and gold that you're asking. Maybe that's the alms you're asking for. And what does this say? What does the gospel right here offer us? It doesn't offer us mere silver or gold, but it offers us the author of the silver and gold. It offers us the Son of God. It offers us the author of life. And in our culture, most of the time, we say that if you follow Jesus, you're going to get the silver or gold, too. And you know what? That's just disingenuous, right? Because what if in this passage, Peter and John would have offered this guy the name of Jesus? I feel like he kind of Jesus jukes him. Hey, I don't just have the silver or gold, but I have something better, the name of Jesus. And you're like, really? You're going to give me the name of Jesus? That's all you're going to say? Who's this Jesus character? That's ridiculous. It's like, hey, you just need to believe in Jesus. That's what I feel right there. But is Jesus the most valuable thing we could ever worship or have? And what he wants to do is he wants to transform our hearts, not just our legs. And that's what he's doing right here in this miracle. He's making a believer of Jesus, not just a lame man healed, which that's a big deal, right? I don't want to dismiss that. People getting healed, that's amazing. But unless it terminates on a worship of Christ, what has it done besides make you tomorrow stand up and go, all right, cool, I can walk now? But my life is terrible, and I have something else to complain about. Now I'm going to search after something. But when you meet the person of Jesus, And I want to be careful when I say this, because though it's scriptural, it can just sound like pat answers. In Jesus we find life and life abundant. In Jesus we find peace. Sometimes it's just not the way we want it. And man, that's hard. And so I know there are people in this audience that feel that exact way. And if you were a brother and sister in Christ and you know that, man, walk with them. Love and care for them. Because life is hard. But the author of life has offered us everything in himself. And so may we persevere with people in the midst of this as we see both our hearts transformed and theirs. The third way that this points is forward. The miracle is not about the man being lame, but points to the hope of the restoration of all things. And I already mentioned that Isaiah 35 passage. What Jesus does is he steps down into human history and engages suffering at a level that is incomprehensible, right? And I say that going, well, what do you mean? He left perfection and entered a sinful world. He got into the messiness of life. Not only that, but he did it for us. That we might have life, that we might have life abundantly, that we might have joy, that we might have peace. And he offers it in himself. And he goes, you know what? You might not find the exact expectation that you have of what peace, joy, life is on this planet, on this place, but it is coming for those that believe. And so if you're in the depths of despair, while it can be extremely hard to go, oh, great, now I have to wait till the end of time for things to get better, right? How many of you have said that? Because I have, right? Thanks, great, I'm glad I can hope. But the hope that we have is not one that's like, man, I hope and it might happen. It's a hope that will happen. We have distorted the meaning of this word. We have made it a possibility rather than a fact of the future. Revelation 21, 4 and 5, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne, behold, I am making all things new. Pain, tears, suffering will all be gone. And this miracle right here is a foreshadowing of that truth. We can look and go, hey, as this lame man walked, so will my grandmother who died of cancer 8 years ago. Her body will no longer be ravished by disease and sin, but she will be walking in glory with Jesus. That's the hope we have. The hope is that Jesus has begun a good work. He has entered human history and he has brought the kingdom of God here and he's gone, hey, now you are the kingdom of God. Be the kingdom of God. Enter into the suffering that you might give hope to a dead and dying world because they have none. Because all you are is what you hope in, right? And what happens when that gold goes away? What happens when the ailment you're suffering with, maybe it goes away, but something else pops up 2 weeks later? There's hope in the gospel that in the end, the Lord will restore all things. Not just make them better, but he will recreate them and make them new. And finally, outward. A miracle points outward. The miracle is not about the man being lame, but it's a sign demanding an explanation, exhibiting a response, and requiring a sacrifice. Yes, that's really wordy, because it's who I am. It's who I am. And I can actually start a new sermon here because that's what I did last service on accident. And at the end, I was like, oh, that was two sermons in one. I'm sorry, everyone. So I'll try not to, but this is huge. And why do I say it's huge? Because Because as the kingdom of God, you that believe in Jesus Christ, the way you live, the way you act, the way you treat people, the way you love one another is like that miracle and demands a response. It requires an explanation and a response. And can you give it? For yourself, right? Like, we all struggle and we all need to preach the gospel to ourselves every day. Whether I don't believe I'm good enough, whether I don't believe I'm right before God, where I don't think I'm pretty enough or good enough or don't have the best job or I'm not going the right way or so on and so forth. Can you preach the gospel to your doubts? Because you know what? You are right because Jesus made you right before God. You are perfect because not because of what you've done. You've done nothing to make yourself perfect, but because of Jesus walking perfectly for you. Can you preach the gospel to yourself when hope is when my feeling of hope is gone? But to that, can you preach the gospel? Can you preach the good news like Peter did to the culture around you, to Durango, right? What do I mean? Well, Peter knew his culture. He knew what they worshipped, right? He knew who they were. He knew their religious thoughts, Acts 3, 9, and 10. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. So that's the thing that's demanding an explanation is that he walked. And so Acts 3:12, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare as though our own power and our own piety have made him walk? The truth is Jesus did that. And then he goes on to explain that he tells them what they're worshiping and he tells them what they're worshiping is wrong. How did he do that? Right? These are all Jewish folks. And by the way, this dude who was the lame beggar was a genius. And he was a great businessman. Why do I say that? Well, it's because he went up to the temple at the busiest time so the most people would walk by and give him the most money. Brilliant man, right? But then Peter and John walk in and go, hey, you know that God that you worship, the God of the Old Testament? Really, it's a God of your own making. Why is he the God of my own making? Because God has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. He uses several messianic titles of Jesus from the Old Testament. He calls him the servant. He calls him the holy and righteous one. He calls him the author of life. He calls him the prophet like Moses. He calls him the Messiah, and he calls him the seed of Abraham. And he goes, hey, you are not worshiping the true God of the Old Testament, because the God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Look, this is back to that verse that I love so much. Let me find it. Sorry. I wasn't planning to talk about it. Then I am now. In verse 14, it says, you asked for a murder to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Again, Luke is a genius. You asked for a murder to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. So the God that you know is not God. Jesus is God, because he is the one that brings about all the things that is spoken of the Messiah in the Old Testament. He is the completion of the law and the prophets. He was here before you, and you murdered him. That was the gospel that they needed to hear. That was the gospel that they understood. Can we do that in Durango? Right? And I just kind of made a list. How do you share the gospel? Actually, Don Reisdorf was talking about this. How do you share the gospel with a guy who almost worships fly fishing? Right? I just feel closer to God. It makes me close to God when I'm fly fishing. What's the answer to that? How do you share the gospel with a man in that moment, right? Because this whole culture, in a lot of ways, is centered around the outdoors. And often, like in Romans 1, we worship the creation rather than the creator. Okay? So in the moment that it's like, hey man, you seeing God in creation while you fly fish, that's awesome because that's how it was intended. Oh, but there's so much more. I have more than that for you. And it's this God, the God of the Bible, who gives you life, who promises life and life abundant, who created all of these things that we might partake in them and then worship him for them. Can you speak the gospel to somebody who just wants to be fulfilled? I feel like that's our favorite word these days. I just want to be fulfilled in my life. And, you know, I just want to have lots of adventures because I think that's going to be awesome and those kinds of things. How do you share the gospel to those people? Because honestly, sometimes we don't have enough fun. We don't have enough fun. We should be the funnest people on the planet. And I speak for myself, right? Just to be honest. We should be the funnest people on the planet. Why? Because it was our God that made all these things, that gave us all these things, that we might worship him because of them. How do we share it to somebody who wants to be whole or who needs to be called good, who needs approval and love from people? Do you know how to share the gospel? How do you share the gospel with a culture that doesn't believe in sin? The truth is, there's one gospel, but there are many implications of the gospel. There are many aspects of the gospel that speak to all of these. And it speaks to the longings in our hearts, right? Because God has put eternity in man's heart. And what we're truly searching for is not the adventure. It's not the fun. We're searching for the transcendent. And the transcendent is the one that gave everything for us, that did something completely opposite of everything that we would ever think or imagine. It wasn't the strong that won, it was the weak. He turned the world's economy upside down and says, if you are weak, you are strong. And in your weakness, everything is yours. That's the truth of the gospel, and that is the message that we get to bring to the people that live here. We get to bring the message of grace, the message of true acceptance, the message of true hope, because all those things are found in Christ, the message of true transformation, because you know what? No matter how hard you keep trying, you're not going to make yourself better, and you're going to find yourself empty and broken every time. But Christ and his body can come alongside you and in you and propel you into true and good life. That's the kingdom of God breaking forth. That is the gospel of God, that he moves, that he saves, that he transforms. And it's through the power of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit in you guys. You are the kingdom of God. Worship the God of the Bible. Trust him. Throw away expectations. Even throw away maybe stuff that you've heard before from pastors. Because it might look differently. But you know what? The purpose of life is to be made more into the image of his Son, that we might experience communion with God. So do you want that? And then are you willing to let that overflow out of you like a fountain and declare the glories of that to a world that's around you? The awesome thing is, you know what? No, if that sounds like pressure, it's not. Because you have the Spirit that empowers you to do it. The power by the Spirit to worship the one true God, to be transformed, and to declare the excellencies of God, because you can't contain all that God has done in you. That's what it means to share the gospel. That's what it means for this miracle to be outworking. You know what? That's going to demand a response, and it's going to demand a reaction, and I want to talk about it. But this is all about Jesus, and we'll get there at some other time. So, Father, we love you, and we come before you, and we're amazed that you initiate, that you bring needy people to us. We pray that you would give us the initiative to bring people and show them not just facts about what Christian faith is, but to show them a person. We pray that we would be able to walk into suffering, not with answers, but with a person, the person of Jesus. And I pray in that moment you would give us words, that you would give us the heart to truly love, to weep with those who weep. I pray that you would help us to long for you and not for the things of this world. I pray that you would overflow each person, every one of us. That you would just give us so much awe and wonder and the feeling of being overwhelmed. That it just, by you and by your grace, that it just flows out of us naturally. And to that, I guess I pray that we would be fun people that loved one another well. And so be with us, and I pray that each one of us would have a sweet communion with you this week. That you would give us eyes to see the little miracles around us. And mostly, may you give us eyes to see you. Be with us now. And may we worship you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. In your name I pray. Amen.